come to order. Members may indicate their presence by voting.
There are 18 members present, two absent.
Prayer by the chaplain, Pastor Robert McNam.
Almighty and eternal God, you alone know what lies before us this day. Grant that in every hour of it we may stay close to you. Let nothing we do be contrary to your will. As members of the Senate and House meet together today, may they receive with open minds the report, so that all best judgment may be made in planning for the future. May all our thoughts and actions merit your continual blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Certification of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 59th legislative day.
Governor Katula.
President, there are no additions or corrections. I move and ask unanimous consent for the journal be approved as read.
Governor Katula moves and asks unanimous consent for the certification of the journal without objection. Journal certified. Introduction of guests. Senator Coletta?
Yes, Mr. President, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce two people visiting the journal in the gallery behind me, Ms. Pat Martin of Anchorage, and Mr. Art Kennedy, the field representative for the Secretary of the Interior.
Senator Tillian?
Mr. President, in the gallery today is Gary Effenbach, the City Manager of the City of Saldaña.
Further introductions? Messages from the governor?
We have messages from the governor dated March 11. Dear Mr. President, I have signed the following bills and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 120, Chapter 12. Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 242, Chapter 13. Senate Bill Number 541, Chapter 14. House Bill Number 594, Chapter 15. Senate Bill Number 607, amended by the House, Chapter 16. House Bill Number 658, Chapter 17. Completes the governor messages.
Messages from the House.
Message of March 11. The House respectfully invites the Senate to meet in joint session this afternoon at 2 p.m. for the purpose of considering House Special Concurrent Resolution Number 2, disapproving Executive Order Number 38.
Senator Katula.
Mr. President, I'm going to ask Council consent to send a message to the House informing them that we will be in attendance.
Senator Katula moves and asks unanimous consent the Senate accept the House invitation.
Object.
Senator Sackett objects.
Second.
Senator Stannard.
Come to order, Senator Sackett.
Senator Sackett removes his objection. Is there further objection? Without objection. Secretary, I'll send a message to the House accepting the House's invitation. Further messages from the House?
March 10, Mr. President, the House has concurred in a Senate amendment to House Bill Number 76 amended, thus adopting House Bill Number 760 amended by the Senate, Executive Budget Act. These have been signed and returned. March 10, the House has passed the following and transmitted for consideration. House Bill Number 577 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to interest rate on general obligation bonds.
Finance.
House Bill Number 722 by Representative Parker, an act relating to consumer protection.
Commerce.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 743 by the Finance Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Education and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 809 Rules by the Rules Committee, an act relating to limitation on proceeds from bingo, raffles and lotteries, ice classics, dog mushers contests, fish derbies, and contests of skill.
Commerce.
There are no other messages from the House.
Communications.
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
Thank you very much.
The Finance Committee has had Senate Bill 694, Special Appropriation to Capital Site Selection Committee, under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ray Chairman and concurred in by Senators Buttigieg and Sackett. Senator Poland signed no recommendation. There are no further referrals.
Rules.
There are no other standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of resolutions.
Senate Resolution Number 2 by the Commerce Committee, relating to provision of communication satellite facilities.
Senator Curtula.
Mr. President, the chairman of that interim committee and special committee, select committee, request that we bring this up at this time as Senate Resolution, what's the number?
2. Senate Resolution 2.
President, I would move and ask unanimous consent to bring up Senate Resolution 2 at this time as special order business.
Senator Curtula moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Resolution Number 2 be made a special order of business at this time. Without objection. Senate Resolution Number 2. Secretary will read the resolution in full.
Senate Resolution Number 2 by the Commerce Committee, relating to provision of communication satellite facilities. Be it resolved by the legislature of the state of Alaska, whereas during the course of the past several years, the Alaska legislature has maintained a significant and continuing interest in the issues and problems involving communication services for Alaska, and whereas Alaska legislature has in the past registered its opinion with the Federal Communications Commission regarding Alaska's communication needs, and whereas the Federal Communications Commission is presently considering whether RCA Alaska Communications Incorporated, RCA Alascom, should lease satellite transponder facilities from RCA Global Communications Incorporated, trustee, RCA Globecom, or from Western Union Incorporated, during an interim period before resolution of the issues set out in the Commission's November 6, 1975, RCA Satellite Order 56 PCC 2nd 660 1975, and whereas the Commission's choice of a satellite facilities supplier for the interim period significantly affects the interests of Alaska's communication users in that, 1. Satellite transponder facilities available from Western Union currently cost twice as much as those available from RCA Globecom. 2. The Western Union satellite is not technically capable of providing television service to the Bush Earth stations held in trust by the state and RCA Alascom. 3. The Western Union satellite is technically inadequate to provide a full range of required voice communication services, including adequate emergency medical service to the Bush Earth stations. And 4, the requirement for successive repointing of the Bush Earth station antennas and the readjustment of associated equipment necessitated by the use of the Western Union satellite during the interim period will delay the scheduled operation of the Bush Earth stations. And whereas the Commission's choice of a satellite facility supplier for the interim period can be made without prejudice to the resolution of the issue set out in its November 6th satellite order, and whereas the governor of the state of Alaska has by letter dated March 10, 1976 urged the Federal Communications Commission to authorize interim satellite service through the RCA Globecom satellites, be it resolved by the Alaska State Legislature that the use of the RCA SATCOM satellite by RCA Alascom during the interim period, subject to the appropriate conditions requested by the state, is in the public interest, and that the Alaska State Legislature fully supports the position expressed in the governor's letter of March 10, 1976.
Discussion.
Senator Petilla.
Mr. President, briefly, and I took some exception to the fact that it brought to us in such short notice, but it's part of the governor's letter, as stated in this communication to FCC. Mr. Brown came this morning before us, the president, the senate, myself, and other members, I believe, and said, can we introduce this legislation? It's important that it be on before the FCC on this Monday meeting, this Monday morning next week. And the only way we can get this communication before him would be pass it as a straight Senate resolution. The House has also a resolution, just a straight House resolution on the same subject. I think the statement of the resolution is self-explanatory. I think it's in the public interest. And there's no reason for us to completely change around, at least on a temporary basis. All the system that's now been geared into the satellite of RCA has the bird that it has up there now. I think we should pass it.
Further discussion? Ready to vote? Question is, shall Senate Resolution Number 2 pass the Senate? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
As many as oppose, no. The ayes have it, and Senate Resolution Number 2 is passed the Senate. Further introduction of resolutions?
There are no other resolutions.
Senator, second. Senator Stannity. Senator, come to order. Senator Terry.
Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent that we take up Senator Hughes' reconsideration on House Bill 784.
We have before us in third reading House Bill 784. Could she read the title of the bill for?
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 784, an act relating to the Cook Inlet land exchange and providing for an effective date.
Senator Polo.
I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that
we
return to second reading for purposes of
a specific
amendment.
Senator Polo moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 784 be returned to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment.
Okay.
Senator Tillian object.
Question.
Senator Stannity. Senator, come to order. Senator Tillian.
As long as the rules are played by Mr. President, I'll withdraw my objection.
Senator Tillian removes his objection. Is there further objection? Without objection, we have in second reading House Bill 784.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 784, an act relating to the Cook Inlet land exchange and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
Amendment number one. Page 1, line 22.
We go slowly.
Secretary, I'll read the amendment.
Page 1, line 22, after approval of transfer, add the words, except as provided in section 3.
Mr. President.
Senator Pullman.
Excuse me, but some members do not have a copy of the amendment yet.
Right. Senator Stannity's. Senator, come to order. Does every senator have a copy of the amendment? Any senator that doesn't? Every senator now. Without objection, then, the reading of the amendment will be waived. Senator Poland, do you want to move the amendment? Senator Poland?
I move and unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number one.
Senator Poland moves and asks unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number one. There is objection. You have the floor, Senator Poland.
Per se today. We went through that yesterday. Yesterday, I did express concern that as of the evening before, the Commissioner of Public Works said that the matter of the north-south runway at Anchorage International Airport had not been straightened out. So yesterday, after we passed the bill, I had my office check again. We contacted the FAA, the Division of Aviation, and as late as this morning, again contacted the Commissioner of Public Works. This has not been straightened out. The Act reads,
and I won't read the whole paragraph, but within the Point Warrensong, Point Campbell, Goose Lake, and Campbell tracks, to which CIRI waives any claim which it may have had, and such land shall be reserved by the United States for early conveyance to the state for park and recreation purposes as an integral part of the consideration for this document. And there's no way that an airport is a park or for recreation. If we do not attach some condition, we're going to have real problems. We've had former members of this body who are now high within the administration that we know have opposed the north-south runway. And if it's not taken care of, I don't think that they're going to be burning their track shoes trying to see that it's taken care of. The director of the Federal Administration, Aviation Administration, and the state director of the State Division of Aviation have both made the same remark. They are very uncomfortable with the situation the way it is. For almost 2 months, they have been assured by Chip Bolin and our own Attorney General that this matter would be resolved. But it has not been resolved. They are not only uncomfortable with the situation, they are distrustful of it. And that is the reason that I have proposed this amendment this morning.
Senator Tillian.
Mr. President, it's apparent to me, considering it's proposed by somebody not necessarily even from that district, that this is a last-minute attempt to make a change in the bill which will kill it. It has nothing to do with the north-south runway. It's just an attempt to kill the bill on this, the last day, by requiring it to go back to the House.
Mr. President.
Mayor Costello.
No, at times we do just that sort of thing, but this one is an honest attempt, so the problem that exists, it will not affect my vote on the subject, but it's certainly one that makes one nervous. I've talked to Mr. Harris on the subject as late as night before last, and Kay definitely, and this is sincere in this attempt. Now, what the result will be of adoption of the amendment perhaps would lead to Mr. Tillian's consideration, but in no way is it a deceptive move for that purpose. It's a sincere attempt.
Senator Coletta, Senator Rohde, and then Senator Miller.
Mr. President, parliamentary inquiry. In the event this amendment were passed, is it possible to expedite the bill from this House to the other House and the action taken on the same day?
It is possible.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we recess the conference chair for Republican caucus.
Senate, stand at ease.
Senator, come to order.
Senator Cotilla.
Mr. President, we needed the Democratic caucus on other subjects when this will happen.
Senator Cotilla moves and asks unanimous consent. The Senate stand in recess. The call of the chair for the purpose of Democrat Republican Party caucus. Without objection, the Senate's in recess. Senator, come to order. We have before us House Bill 784. Amendment number one is under discussion. Is there further discussion? Senator Chance.
Mr. President, I have laid on the clerk's desk a statement of legislative intent. I would like to submit to this body.
Senator Chance.
For the benefit of all members now, I repeat, I've laid upon the desk of the Senate Secretary a statement of legislative intent I would like to submit to this body. It reads, there has been some question raised because of language in the agreement over the ability of the government to transfer land at Point Warrensong to the state. under the Airport and Airway Development Act of 1970. We were assured by letter of February 27th from Deputy Assistant Secretary Boland that there was no legal impediment for that transfer. The Cook Inlet Region Incorporated, has given us identical assurances. The transfer is crucial for the state because we are committed to the construction of the north-south runway at Yainbridge Airport, and the land is necessary for that construction. The legislature's acceptance of the trade is based in material part upon the assurances by the Department of the Interior that the transfer of land at Point Warrensall will be made for airport purposes. I would now move and ask unanimous consent that this be spread in the journal as a statement of legislative intent prior to voting on the bill.
Senator Chance moves and asks unanimous consent that the language quoted, and which is on the Secretary's desk, be spread in the journal as a part of legislative intent. Senator Cartula?
This motion is allowable under the rules of the House at this time.
That is correct. Is there objection? With that?
Mr. President, I have an objection. I just would like to add that it's my understanding that that's a paraphrase language which the governor intends to include in his letter acceptance of the Secretary of the Interior later this afternoon if the bill passes the Senate today.
Is there objection? Without objection, then, that will be made a part of the journal. Further discussion, Senator Poland.
Mr. President, as I stated this morning, contrary to the statements of the Senator from Halibut Cove, my intent was not to stop action or impede action on 784, but I felt very strongly on this issue. With the body giving unanimous consent to this language being shown as our intent in the Senate Journal, I will hereby withdraw my amendment.
Senator Poland moves and asks unanimous consent that amendment number one be withdrawn. Without objection. Amendment number one is withdrawn. Are there further amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Senator Cartula.
Mr. President, I'm asking for further amendments. I move and ask unanimous consent. Committee substitutes for House Bill 784. Considering gross, pass third reading, place final passage.
Senator Cartula moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 784 be advanced from second to third reading, placed before you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading House Bill 784.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 784, an act relating to the Cook Inlet Land Exchange and providing for an effective date.
Further discussion? Senator Huber.
We've all seen this morning what one little thing in this bill can do. I maintain there's at least a dozen more things that just as bad. And I feel compelled to say a few words in spite of the fact that the vote tally usually pleases me more the less I say on the floor of this body. Nevertheless, I'll make this plea to you and ask you to draw a line and stand fast. It's about time that Alaskans become known in Washington, D.C. for being something besides pushovers and crybabies. While we here in Juneau can do nothing about the latter label, we can do something about the former. Gentlemen, we can stop being known as pushovers by refusing to be blackmailed by every two-bit bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. Mr. President, what happens to our much sought-after sovereign status when we reach our long uphill battle for statehood? If you'll bear with me just a little longer, I'll try to point out some of the highlights of this demise and why we should defeat House Bill 784. Alaska's statehood bill, among other things, called for Alaska to receive $102,550,000 acres of federal land, 90% of mineral royalties from federal lands in Alaska, and allowed us 25 years to complete the selections. The ink was barely dry on this act, with Congress establishing a contract with the people of the state of Alaska when the land selection was frozen for 5 years by the first in a long line of bureaucrats, Secretary of Interior Stuart Udall. Next came the Native Land Claim Settlement, Public Law 92-203, effective December 1871. We were required to pay $1.5 billion half of the monetary consideration of that long overdue and much deserved settlement, an obligation owed by all of the people of the United States, not just Alaska, to Alaska's neighbors. The blackmail was outright, forbidding the state to make legal action or take legal action provided for in Section 10 of that act. Congress seemed to reason that that just took back the generous 90% of federal mineral royalties gained in the state. Recently, the exclusion of over $3 billion, leaving less than $1 billion from this source by illegal withdrawal of Swanson River royalties for last year, is another example of Alaska being ripped off. Others viewed the ridiculous contention by the Interstate Commerce Commission that they have sole jurisdiction over the Alaska oil pipeline, which of course starts and ends in Alaska. Because ships will transport the oil in interstate commerce from Valdez to the West Coast ports. Obviously the ships are in interstate commerce, the pipeline is not. But we continue to submit to this seemingly fuzzy thinking, which is not fuzzy at all. It effectively takes full control of Alaska internal affairs without even a fight. The Gravel Bill, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline Authorization, Public Law 93-153, passed November 13, 73. This bill removed all doubt and mandated Interstate Commerce Commission control. The late Senator Bartlett disagreed with this position most venomously, as he rightfully should have. Next came the Federal Power Commission with the same ridiculous contention with a new twist yet. We can mandate Gas Kidnapping Act into a foreign country and include even Alaska's proprietary share. See the Rush Moody Report, January 14, 76. And this to be forever committed and not to be diminished. Now they mandate again. This time that we trade off valuable, patented, state-owned Beluga River coal land and oil land, it's not proven yet whether it has oil or not, belonging to all the peoples of Alaska, to pay Congress's debt to one native corporation which the Department of Interior cheated, like they've been doing since they first started dealing with Indians. Mr. President, while the foregoing are possibly the major inroads on our sovereignty, they are certainly not all of them. It seems as though the name of the game in Washington, D.C. is to interfere in Alaska's internal affairs by whatever means, fair or foul. And no proper bureaucrat has arrived until he manages to best his predecessors in this deadly game. The bill before us is just the most recent attempt. Others follow close on its heels. Mr. President, let's stand right here. Let's call for a stop to unwarranted, immoral, and illegal interference in Alaska's internal affairs. Let's vote no and tell Washington, D.C. that the Cook Inlet Native Corporation must be afforded its fair share of federal lands, not state lands. And Mr. President, let's stand tall and fight for our people and property in the American tradition. Thank you.
Further discussion?
Question.
Ready to vote?
Question is, shall House Bill 784 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted, secretary will lock the roll. Any senators already changed his vote? Secretary, I'll take the roll.
There are 13 yeas and 6 nays, 1 excused.
Senator Curtula.
Mr. President, I move the effective date clause.
Senator Curtula moves the adoption of the effective date clause. Members may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Any member desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 19 yeas, one excused.
So House Bill 784, with an effective date clause, passed the Senate. Senator Petula. Senate stand at ease. Come to order. Senator Collette.
Yes, Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that prior to the recess motion being placed, that I be allowed the privilege of making an announcement for the purpose of the Republican caucus about 5 minutes after your recess motion.
Right. Your Republican caucus upon recess. Senator Cotillo.
President, I'm going to ask unanimous consent for vote counter and induction guests.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Mr. President, the gallery, distinguished Alaskan physician, a colleague here whose name I'm embarrassed to say has skipped my mind, but Dr. Fish is here and I wish that he would introduce his colleague.
Dr. Peter Hanema from PNAC.
Further introductions? Senator Cotillo.
President, I move to ask consent that we recess. You'll call the chair for purposes of joint session.
Senator Cotillo moves and asks unanimous consent the Senate stand in recess the call of the chair for purpose of a joint session at 2 o'clock Republican caucus on recess. Without objection, Senate's in recess. Senate will come to order. We're down to consideration of the daily calendar.
Not
this night. Senator Rager.
I'd like to first put it forward.
That objection, you have the floor.
President, I'm disturbed about the results of the ruling. I'm not disturbed at all about the ruling. I'm disturbed about the attitude of members who think that it was done in bad faith and does not represent my best question as to what's fair and what the rules are. Mr. Chairman, I want to elaborate just a little bit. The rule that I relied upon is section 451. The problem is that when we came back tomorrow, nothing that we could do could affect what happened today. No matter what we did tomorrow, if we sustained what we did today, it would not affect it. If we overturned what we did today, it would not affect it. It was on that basis that I ruled, and I think it's correct, that the subject matter was beyond us, had left us. We had discussions, they say, yes, but you still have the piece of paper, and you still have possession of the paper. Looking at the rule, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, an action cannot be reconsidered when for any reason it is not possible to cancel, nullify, or void the action previously taken. First of all, that's correct. No matter what we did tomorrow, it could not affect what we did today. In general, the action cannot be canceled or made ineffective when vested rights have been acquired as a result of the action, or when rights cannot be constitutionally or legally taken away, or when the subject, I quote subject, or when the subject is beyond the control or out of the reach of the body taking the original action. It doesn't talk about the bill being out of control or the piece of paper being out of control. We're talking about the subject is beyond the control or out of the reach of the body taking the original action. And Mr. President, the subject was out of control of the legislature as of midnight tonight. No matter what we do, we cannot treat with that subject. It was out of our possession. It is out of our possession. And the rule is clear on it. And the earlier precedents that are argued by senators in good faith, I might add, I think are clearly inapplicable.
Senator Miller.
Mr. President, I don't want to go on this very briefly. I would like
do you to ask for special privilege? Without objection, you're before.
I expect that the rule chairman made his decision with no malice and in good faith, and I assumed as much. However violently, I disagree with the conclusion.
We have before us in second reading Senate Bill 682.
Mr. President.
Senator Rader.
First amendment.
That objection, you have the floor.
Mr. President, I wish the senator would cite one part of Mason's that supports his position. I've cited him mine, which says when the subject matter is gone, you cannot reconsider. The senator may disagree, but we're going to follow Mason. I think you ought to come on him to support him with some authority.
Senator Miller. Senator Cotillo.
Yes, we must admit, though, that the minority leadership of the Senate is not
We have before us in second reading Senate Bill 682.
Mr.
Do you wish the resolution to bills read, Mr. President?
Do what? No, we're on consideration of that account.
Senate Bill number 682 amended by the Commerce Committee by request, an act relating to winery licenses. Amendment number 1, page 1, line 15. After the word him, insert the words on the premises where sold.
Senator Cotilla.
I move that and ask consent to withdraw that amendment.
Senator Cotilla moves and asks unanimous consent that amendment number 1 be withdrawn. Is there objection? Without objection, amendment number 1 is withdrawn. Are there further amendments?
Amendment number 3, page 1, line 16. After sold, add period and delete rest of sentence.
Senator Ray?
I move and ask unanimous consent for the removal of that amendment.
Senator Ray moves and asks unanimous consent that amendment number 3 be withdrawn. Is there objection? Without objection. Is withdrawn. Secretary, read amendment number 4.
I have no further amendments.
No, there is amendment. Is an amendment. Is there an amendment number? Shit. Senate will come to order.
Amendment number 4 by Senator Ray, page 1.
Does every senator have a copy of that amendment? Any senator that doesn't? Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I would ask the clerk, we did forget to put in the part in front of the where the deletion starts in, and that is right after the winery license period. If you delete everything after that, in place with that, I would then move to the
Senator Ray moves the adoption of amendment number 4.
If that's not clear, I would.
It's clear.
All right. Well, Mr. President, I think the amendment will do exactly what everybody wants it to do without causing irreparable harm. But the whole thought does do damage to the concept of separation of the wholesale and retail outlets. Like we have a separation of the duties and powers of the state in the three branches, the administrative, the legislative, and the judiciary. This is the same thing. In other words, we don't have a police officer, an arresting officer, a prosecutor, and a judge on the same, sitting there with the same hat on. And I would hope that we would not have wholesalers and retailers doing the same job.
Senator Ray asks unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number 4. Do you object?
I object just for a
Senator Orsini, you have the floor.
Through the chair to Senator Ray, the original bill allowed, as I read it, the tasting of wine. What is normally the process in a place? Is a
respective
buyer allowed to taste the product, or is that?
Senator Ray?
Mr. Chairman, I would advise the Senator from Hankins that the original bill does not allow for wine tasting. This is the amendment. Oh, the original bill, yes, it does, but the original bill amends the existing statute which allows for wine tasting.
Senator Orsini?
The reason for my inquiry, Mr. President, is this is the subject we're considering is an unusual product, and it may be, but people would prefer to taste it on the premises before they buy it. And that's my own concern.
Senator Cotilla?
I am satisfied with the amendments. I think we'll get along fine if they can be shot on the premises.
Senator Orsini removes his objection. Is there further objection? Without objection, then, amendment number four is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Senator Curtillo?
Absence of further amendments, Mr. President. I move to ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 682 be considered engrossed and transferred to being placed upon passage.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 682 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading Senate Bill 682.
Senate Bill number 682 amended, an act relating to winery licenses.
Is there discussion?
Question.
You ready to vote? The question is, shall Senate Bill 682 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Has every senator voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Any senators desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 11 yeas, 8 nays.
Senate Bill 682 has passed the Senate. Senator Ruddy?
Mr. President, I move to have unanimous consent that Senate Bill 365 be held over until tomorrow's calendar.
Senator Ruddy moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 365 be held in second reading until tomorrow's calendar. Without objection, it will appear in second reading on tomorrow's calendar. Senate stand to be. Senator Ziegler. Senator Ziegler moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 575 be held in second reading until tomorrow's calendar. Without objection, appear on tomorrow's calendar in second reading. We have before us in second reading Senate Bill 653.
Senate Bill number 653 by Senator Chance, an act concerning the philosophy of the Department of Health and Social Services approach to treating children. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee had this bill under consideration. The committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Chance, Bradley, and Coletta. I have an amendment. I have two amendments on my desk. Amendment number one by Senator Ray, page one, line 20. Delete all material after him and add adequate custody and care.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, that would move the adoption of the amendment.
Senator Ray moves for the adoption of amendment number one. You have the floor, Senator Ray.
Well, as I read it here, we are taking a child away from custody of these parents when his welfare and safety, or when his protection of the public cannot be adequately safeguarded without removal. And then we're saying, and when the child is removed from his family, we have to secure for him custody, care, and discipline as nearly as possible equivalent to that which should be given by his parents. I don't know. I would say that all we can ask for in most conditions would be to secure for him adequate custody and care. And within the idea of care, I'm sure that it's adequate custody and care, the disciplinary action was taken forward at that time. If there is a question from the sponsor, if she'd like to have adequate time to look at the amendments, I would have no objection at all for her to pull it over till tomorrow.
Senator Chan?
I would like to point out that what we're getting at here is that if the state assumes the role of the parent of the child, the state should also provide the type of custody and care that an adequate family should be provided. But since obviously this is a day of full moon, I would ask you to move and ask unanimous consent that the bill and all amendments pending on the desk be held over in second reading.
Senator Chance moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 653 be held in second reading until tomorrow's calendar. Without objection, appear in second reading on tomorrow's calendar. We have before us in second reading House Bill 118.
Committee substitute for...
Senator Ray?
I move as unanimous consent the committee substitute for House Bill 118 and amend it to read goes to return to the Congress.
Can she read the bill first? We have to have... Just read the title.
An act providing for the licensing of transporters.
Senator Ray?
Read my motion.
Senator Ray moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 118 be referred to the Commerce Committee. Senator Tillian objects. Senator Tillian, you have the floor.
I believe this is a fairly valid bill. I know some of the problems that are facing it from the air taxi standpoint. We wouldn't mind the delay, but I don't think it's one we can afford to kill. There's an awful lot of these pilot bandits that are flying around the state that they should have some control on. And I'm just wondering, is that a permanent referral to Commerce, or is there going to be out in court?
Senator Ray?
Well, Mr. President, not suffering from the bloodthirsty tactics or thoughts of my colleagues here, and who thinks that this, when you refer a bill to a committee, maybe it's because of the association with the committee himself, where very few things escape. I would say, not much ever gets into it.
Senator Ray?
I don't know what committee is, but let's get back to the Congress committee. It's not my intent to ask the bill be recommitted for killing it, and I don't think that under our joint rules that you can kill a bill in committee unless if the majority of those members present want it out, or the majority of the committee wants it out, you bring it out. I understand from my dealings with the revered and honest majority leader that I've never seen him kill anything.
Revered and honest majority leader.
Yes, thank you to the graduate of the Pukwan Knight Law School. I'm certain that Senator Tillian's vote against the bill that I have on the calendar today will have nothing to do with the decision I think this legislation is going to be put in this committee. We'll have a good look at it, and the distinguished barrister from Ketchikan, one of the state's most prominent attorneys, I'm going to ask him personally to have a good look at it. More than likely, will come out.
Further discussion, Senator Tillian?
Is there any chance on this day of the full moon to just amend the worthy finance chairman's motion to move that it be held on the calendar for one more legislative day and make this decision tomorrow?
Further discussion, Senator Ray?
I would speak against that, and I want to also reassure my colleague from Howard Cove that anything that he is interested in finance would have nothing that we would certainly would always consider the best of the friends. Unless he wishes to continue, I'll be thinking about this for a long time.
The only motion before us is the motion to refer the bill to the Commerce Committee. There has been an objection. Senator Tillian?
Isn't that an amendment in order?
Yeah, I didn't. Did you move?
I move that motion be amended to hold on the calendar for one legislative day.
I object.
Question. Gee, must be a full moon. Senate stand at ease. Senate order, Senator Tillian.
Mr. President, I can't stand it twice.
Without objection, Senator Tillian, the motion to hold the bill on the calendar one legislative day is withdrawn. The question is, shall House Bill 118 be referred to the Commerce Committee? Is there further discussion?
Question.
You ready to vote? The question is, shall House Bill 118 be referred to the Commerce Committee? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
Many as opposed, no. Have it unanimously. in House Bill 118 is referred to the Commerce Committee. Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of resolution.
Senate Resolution Number 3 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor relating to the Cook Inlet land trade.
Does every senator have a copy of the resolution on his desk? Senator Cortillo.
Mr. President, I move it
again.
Mr. President, I move asking us consent that we suspend the rules. Senate Resolution 118.
No.
Senate Resolution. I'm reading the board. I don't have a copy of it.
Three.
Senate Resolution 3 will be picking up special orders.
Senator Tilla moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Resolution Number 3 be made a special order of business at this time. Is there objection? Without objection, we have before us Senate Resolution Number 3.
Senate Resolution Number 3 relating to the Cook Inlet land trade.
Is there a discussion? Senator Orsini?
Point of inquiry, Mr. President. Copies of the resolution are supposed to be sent to the Department of Interior. It's noted on line 28. Do we have to have a motion, or is it the intent of the body that will also send this resolution to our congressional delegation and to the Cook Inlet Regional Corporation?
Without objection, that can be taken care of. Is there further discussion? Senate Standard E. Senate will come to order. Are there any amendments?
I have amendment number 1 by Senator Chance, page 1, line 24. Change maybe to will be.
Senator Chance?
I would move the adoption of amendment.
Senator Chance moves the adoption of amendment number 1. The other floor. Senator Ziegler asks unanimous consent. Is there objection? Without objection, amendment number 1 is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Further discussion? You ready to vote? The question is, shall Senate Resolution Number 3 pass the Senate? Many as favor say aye.
Aye.
Many as opposed, no. The ayes have it, and Senate Resolution Number 3 passed the Senate. Brings us down to unfinished business. Special orders. Senator Orsini.
The President approves the floor for commenting on the Eden Expressway.
Without objection, you have the floor.
President, I don't know how many of us in the body drive that thoroughfare every day. I know Senator Willis does, I do. Hey, those of us who do or have occasion to drive it, I know it's in a very sad state of repair. For quite a length of it, there's only one lane going in any one direction there. And the rest of it is looks like it's coming apart at the seams already. I think I was Governor Egan, or former Governor Egan, I'd be a little unhappy with this thoroughfare being named after me. I think I'd rather have it named, at least on a temporary basis, the Miller Expressway or perhaps the Hamilton Expressway. If I was the Commissioner of Highways, Walt Parker, I think I'd have the engineers who designed it standing in front of me and explaining why that particular thoroughfare is so broken up and is such a sad state. If I was the Chairman of the Finance Committee, I think I'd have Commissioner Parker in front of me trying to explain why the state's money is being spent in such a way that the highway is not in very good shape. Mr. President, I'm not any of those people, but I am Senator Banker. It seems to me that if we don't have the expertise to properly design highways in the southeast part of Alaska without a great deal of expense and effort, then that's another reason for moving capital.
Senator Wright?
Mr. President, I'd like to the floor to make a few comments and answers.
Without objection, you have the floor.
If I was my colleague from Anchorage, I had to find out who the Commissioner of Highways was. I think that his remarks are in good taste, considering the source. And I find nothing wrong with his remarks at all. Nobody in Southeast Alaska, you know, particularly is very pleased with the Eagan Expressway. Everybody has taken the time to look into the background. knows what has happened there. And even if it was in the state of disrepair, as my colleague would intimate, it's still a better repair than a lot of the roads that we own. Certain districts in Miami have also been designed by people in the state. I don't think design had anything to do with it. It's a matter of possibly a wrong decision on somebody within the highways hierarchy that caused the acceptance of the highway before it was ready to be accepted, or before it had the full necessary layers of payment on the top. Certainly we're not making any excuses. I'm not making any excuses for the Department of Highways. They can make their own excuses. And I would say that no matter, again, what this state of repair is in, is a much valued and appreciated improvement over the old Glacier Highway, which was considered to be mile for mile per capita one of the most dangerous roads in the United States, which was designed also by somebody possibly from Anchorage.
Further special orders? Announcement of committee meetings? Senator Cotulla?
There will be a brief get together with some of the doctors who come down to meet with, formally with the committee that was appointed on medical malpractice, so that we can conference if possible. Right upon adjournment. Mr. President, no further action coming for this, but I will ask unanimous consent to adjourn for 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Object.
Senator Ray objects.
I just want to make a committee report for any body here. There'll be a joint Senate and House Finance Committee meeting at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning to discuss the capital site relocation committee.
Senator Ray would move his objection. Senator Huber?
Mr. President, rather than later, the State Affairs Committee meeting will be canceled. We'll determine when it will be held.
Further objection? Without objection, then the Senate stand in adjournment until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.